It's Central Time. I'm Rob Farish. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, Warner Brothers will release its blockbuster movies next year in theaters and on streaming platforms at the same time. We'll talk about the impact that could have on the theater business and how we watch our movies in the future. First, about two-thirds of rural voters across the country cast their ballots for President Trump this election. Our next guest says that isn't because of a lack of organizing or engagement by local Democratic branches. Instead, he says many rural people have lost trust in the Democratic Party. They don't see themselves represented in it, and they don't see the party as working on their behalf. He says what rural voters want is some hope that things will change and a politician who sees futures for rural communities. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Whether you live rural or urban, vote Democrat or Republican, what do you think is continuing to fuel this divide? How do you think politicians could gain the trust of rural voters? What do you think Democratic leaders get wrong when it comes to rural voters? What do you think Republicans are doing right to keep the votes of rural areas? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Bill Hogsett is chair of the Dunn County Democratic Party in Wisconsin. He wrote an opinion piece for Politico titled, "Why Democrats Keep Losing Rural Counties Like Mine." Bill, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me on.
Before we get to your piece, Bill, for those who don't live there, paint us a little picture of what Dunn County in western Wisconsin is like.
Dunn County is a beautiful county. It's got forested ridges and farmed valleys, and it's got the Chippewa River running through it. Menominee is right in the middle of the county, and surrounding Menominee is a lot of really fertile farmland. We have UW Stout in Dunn County as well, so we have a polytechnic university. So it's a great combination of rural with a college town in it.
Now, getting to that piece you wrote for Politico, you said you felt like locally you and other Democrats did a pretty good job of being out there in public. Can you talk about what you did in the lead up to the presidential election?
Yeah, we spent the last 2 years being really active, really working hard to build relationships and have a lot of conversations with people all over the county. And we were working hard even in 2019. We organized a series of house meetings where we actually got into people's living rooms and around the dining room table and actually talked about why this election was personal to them and really helped people connect why it was important for them to get involved and help us get out the vote this year. And even after the pandemic hit, we still saw more of our volunteers stepping up, even though we had to campaign virtually. There was a lot of motivation, and we did a really great job, and I'm proud of what we cultivated here in a rural county in West Central Wisconsin.
But then in the election, in many rural counties in Wisconsin and elsewhere, most of them, President Trump ended up winning, and you see a disconnect between the National Democratic Party and voters in counties like yours. What do you see as the gap there?
Sure. Well, I'll just speak from my own experience here in Dunn County, Rob, and I'll also add that my county went for President Barack Obama in both 2008 and in 2012. So my county is very much a swing county within a swing state, and it has a history of going for Democrats. So I'm not in a situation where I'm in a county that's always going red. But you know, this year I started noticing that there were more and more and more Trump signs around the county roads where I have to travel to get to my house, and many more than in 2016. And this really even started coming up more as a theme, Rob, as I actually started getting on the phone and having real conversations with voters and really hearing their stories, hearing their experiences, their concerns, and really starting to sense that there was a lack of trust among the people who are my neighbors, really, and what the Democratic.
I'm going to jump in there, Bill. Our connection just went bad for a moment. We'll pick up and talk to you and get that reestablished. We're talking to Bill Hogsett, chair of the Dunn County Democratic Party here in Wisconsin. He wrote an opinion piece for Politico titled "Why Democrats Keep Losing Rural Counties Like Mine." You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Are you in a rural county? Do you see one party doing a better job reaching out to you, meeting your needs, advocating for your issues than the other? Or do you feel left out by both parties? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Our guest wrote a piece in Politico. It's titled "Why Democrats Keep Losing Rural Counties Like Mine." And he's the head of the Democratic Party in a rural county here in western Wisconsin. And again, join in 800-642-1234 as we reestablish a connection with our guest. Actually, we'll take a short break now and be back with Bill Hogsett. Again, you can join in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Oh, no, we won't take a break. He's back. Bill, hi.
Hi. Sorry.
We've got you
that.
Back. Sorry about that. Your line cut out, and you're, I think, just getting into some issues where the Democratic Party at the national level kind of lost the people you were talking to in these conversations you were talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. And in these conversations, Rob, it's and this is something I see every day living in rural Wisconsin, is that there's a lot of stress in these areas right now, a lot of pain that has to do with economic difficulties. I mean, we're in, you know, a multi-year dairy crisis in Wisconsin. Small business growth in rural Wisconsin has been basically flatlined since the Great Recession in 2008. And things are kind of are pretty tough here right now. And so I was just hearing from a lot of people that there wasn't a feeling of trust that the Democratic Party was going to do something that was going to lift up their material condition on a day-to-day basis and help them thrive.
And you wrote that the Biden campaign in the run-up to the election released and talked some about their plan for rural America, but you didn't feel like they really sold it, and they didn't communicate it in a way that would answer those concerns. Why? What would you have liked to have seen?
Well, Biden held like a rural roundtable in the spring, and then did release a rural plan. But honestly, those plans are just basically bullet points of policies that they really don't tell a story to your average voter who, you know, isn't super engaged in all the nuances of the policy debate during election season. A lot of voters are just really looking for a story to be told that helps them understand what's happening to them in their community and how it's going to get better. And I didn't hear a story being told from the Democratic Party that spoke directly to the experiences of rural people and why their communities, why their main streets are emptying out, or why they have to drive 90 miles to get to see a doctor, or why their neighbor just had to sell their herd of cows, or all these experiences that I just didn't hear the party that I was trying to support. I didn't hear them speaking to my neighbors.
Do you hear a story like that from Republicans, even if you don't agree with the substance of the story?
Yes, I do, very much so. And I think it's a story that really explains what's happening in terms of the economic despair that people are experiencing today. But it lays the blame on, in my opinion, other working people, people who, you know, are maybe competing for a slice of the economic pie. But I think there's a story to be told about rural America where the blame isn't to be laid on other working people, but is to be blamed on a system that enables, profiting off of the resources that come out of our area. You know, there's large agribusiness corporations that preside over the farm economy, which counties like Dunn rely on, and they are squeezing more and more profits out of the food dollar every day, leaving less and less for the farmers who are the ones who are actually growing the crops. And that's a story that needs to be told, and I'm not hearing the Democratic Party telling that story.
And that's one policy thing you'd like to see pursued under a Biden administration, an active fight to break up what you see as unfair monopolies in agriculture and food.
Yeah, or at least take a look at these monopolies and take a look at whether we have some anti-competitive business behaviors going on. we've seen incredible consolidation in the farm economy over the last 10 years. And that's to blame not just on the Trump administration, but also the Obama administration. So both parties have presided over this, and both parties should take responsibility. And Biden did have some language in his rural plan about antitrust enforcement, but it doesn't appear until the 35th bullet point in his rural plan, which suggests to me that it's not a super high priority for him.
We're talking to Bill Hogsath, chair of the Dunn County Democratic Party in Wisconsin. We're talking about a piece he wrote for Politico. It's called Why Democrats Keep Losing Rural Counties Like Mine. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you live in a rural area, regardless of who you voted for, what do you think either party needs to understand about rural life and issues and economy? Call in at 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Verrett. We pick up our conversation with Bill Hogsath, chair of the Dunn County Democratic Party. He wrote the piece, Why Democrats Keep Losing Rural Counties Like Mine. Let's go to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Louise is with us in Dodgeville. Louise, hi.
Hi. I am curious what your guest thinks of third-party candidates or people who are or who could run as an independent. I think there's like a lot of commonality in the middle. I would say most Democrats and Republicans where I live in a rural area are concerned about internet, public schools, healthcare. And to me, those things aren't really that partisan. And I don't really see the Democrats or the Republicans really either solving those things. So and I can take my answer off the air.
Louise, thanks for the call. Louise, seeing Bill, neither party really answering things that are important to her. She says maybe third party.
Yeah, well, I mean, Louise, I just saw a statistic. I can't remember if it was from Pew or who else, but it was, I think 57% of Americans right now are in favor of a third party emerging because there is distrust amongst the partisanship that's alive and well in the United States right now. And I would say my conversations with voters during this election cycle certainly suggested that people are fed up with both parties. They feel like they're locked in a stalemate and they're not getting anything done. And really that the parties are benefiting from the system of that's not working for people. And you're right. The issues that need to be championed that at the end of the day could benefit the lives of people in my community should be nonpartisan issues, should be bipartisan issues. So yeah, there could be an opening for independent candidates. I think the question is whether those candidates can succeed in a campaign system that's soaked in money.
And Louise mentioned rural internet, rural broadband. She mentioned education and the challenges facing rural education. You mentioned earlier access to healthcare, having to drive to, you know, a couple counties over for a lot of kinds of services. I've heard people, I've talked to lawmakers from both parties, Bill, who, you know, bring up those issues. Do you think anybody is like, I don't know, bundling them up and selling them in a strong way to rural voters?
I'm not seeing it, Rob.
Let's. Thanks for that call, Louise. We'll go to Tim now in Ladysmith. Tim, hi.
Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. I think it's a little bit more baseline than that. And what I mean by that is that I think in order to even look at any other parties and the DFL inclusive is to look at changing things like term limits, go back to reforming campaign finance law, blow K Street and any type of lobbyist support off the map, because these wealthy and powerful individuals understand that if they donate to both parties, they will end up having control of these representatives. And what happens is me as a constituent never gets represented because there's too much lobby power that's involved in this. And to his point, you know, antitrust is a huge thing. We have to start breaking up these huge companies so mom and pop have a chance to flourish again. And if we can get all these powerful people out of the pockets of all the representatives, we'll be able to have the constituents drive the changes that they need in Wisconsin and throughout the whole 50 United States. Thanks.
Tim, thanks a lot for the call. And Bill, that points me toward another thing you wrote about, a concern among some rural voters that you talked to, that Democrats are too much in control of elites of one form or another, whether it's the lobbyists that Tim is talking about or others. What would you like to see from the Democratic Party to counter that, to tackle that?
I agree with the caller 100% that it is very base, and it's about, I think for a lot of people, there's a feeling that they don't have a voice in the system right now. You mentioned lobbyists, you mentioned money in politics. I think people aren't dumb. They know where the influence is, and they feel like it's not within their community, and therefore people feel like they don't have a say in the future of their own community. So I would point to the history of Wisconsin, stretching back to the progressive era. We have an amazing history as a progressive populist state. Senator Bob La Follette, who was our senator and governor, picked up the torch of economic populism, which was very popular amongst rural voters at that time. And we passed the first workers' compensation law, the first minimum wage law. We were the first state to ratify the 19th Amendment. We were a groundbreaking state, and I think we can be again. And I would just remind everybody in Wisconsin that we all know what a progressive institution looks like and how they can lift up the community, because one of our state's most enduring institutions was founded during the progressive era, which was the Green Bay Packers. And it stands as a successful example of what an organization looks like when it's owned, governed, and operated by community members, and there's not some billionaire owner siphoning off the profits. Instead, they're reinvested into the community, into player facilities, and we have a great organization that we can be proud of, and that's a gift from the progressive era.
Thanks for the call, Tim. We're talking to Bill Hogsath, chair of the Dunn County Democratic Party. He wrote a piece titled "Why Democrats Keep Losing Rural Counties Like Mine" for Politico. Back to your calls now. Yordis is with us in Colfax. Yordis, hi.
Hi. I live in Colfax, a town of about 1,000. And last time, Clinton won in the town. And this time, Biden lost by 29 votes, I believe. And I was just horrified. And the number of signs in the town of Colfax were, 10-1 for Biden. So I think the people in the area that I live in Dunn County were ashamed or embarrassed to admit they were voting for Trump, because otherwise you would have seen signs all over the place, and we didn't. And I also had another comment about what could be done about this nationally. I think the Democratic Party has to have a presence, come to a rural area like Jesse Jackson did when he ran for president. He visited a farm near where I live, and it was just packed, and there was every news outlet in the area, and he not only spoke, but he listened. And they national politicians, whether it's the Secretary of Agriculture that Biden has set up, they should come here and listen to the people, and they will feel that's the start. That's the start of solving the problems.
Yordis, thanks a lot for the call. Bill, what do you think of that, having the national figures show up, not just for photo opportunities, Yordis says, but to listen?
Yeah, I would agree 100%. I would also add, I think I'm about 6 miles south of you, so I don't know if we know each other, but I hope to meet you someday. But yeah, it all starts with listening. And I think that's one of the things that's missing from the equation right now, that the feels like the National Democratic Party doesn't have its finger on the pulse of what's happening in rural America. And I would add to her point, not only about candidates showing up and listening, but I think all the way down to the bottom of the Democratic Party, where you have your organizers who are the ones who are on the ground. I think those could be people, instead of dropping them in 6 months before the election and expecting them to make a relationship with the community, find somebody from within the community, lift them up, develop them as an organizer, and have them have a year-round presence in that community. So it's not just a few months before you're going to start asking people to vote for your party. It's all year round, and you have the opportunity to listen, to learn, to hear what the challenges of the people in that community are, and that's going to put you in a better position to craft policies, to craft messages that's going to resonate with that community.
Yordis, thanks for the call. Time for one more caller. We have many. Jack is with us in Viola. Jack, hi.
Yeah, good afternoon. Like everything has been said, let me tell you, I'm part of the Richmond County Democrats. I've been involved in the Vernon County Democrats, and, here's one, a couple of different problems to look at. First of all, you have right-wing radio out there, no progressive out there. And so they're putting out the meme of the false equivalency that the Democrats are just as bad as the Republicans, which is not the case. And I know from our own organization, we're down on the ground. We've been down on the ground for years talking to people. So it's not that we're not listening. You got a negative message out there, and then you also got the false equivalency that you got to deal with all the time. Because we've worked hard, and we had people out there listening, and we had people talk about corporate farms. We had people talking about, you know, living wage and all the things that, you know, what you call it?
Jack, I got to jump in. We just have a minute or so left. Jack sees an imbalance in the media landscape in rural Wisconsin, Bell.
Couldn't agree more. There are these national narratives and stories that are being told coming out of the president's mouth, being told on talk radio, that are drowning out the messages of people like myself and the caller who are on the ground trying to have conversations. And it creates this tremendous noise that's hard to break through at the local level. So totally agree. It's a challenge and it needs to be addressed.
Jack, thanks for the call. Bill, here you are. You're, you know, a chair of a rural Democratic Party in a county. You have this piece in a, you know, a Washington website that gets a lot of insider views. Have you gotten some calls from national Democrats since this got posted?
Yeah, I got a call from my congressman, Ron Kind, who I think is a great rural Democrat and does have his finger on the pulse of what's going on around here. And got a good voicemail from him where he really addressed the substance of what I shared. And I really respected him reaching out to me. So, yeah, I have heard from some folks.
Bill, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That's Bill Hoxa, chair of the Dunn County Democratic Party here in Wisconsin. We've got a link to his piece he wrote for Politico titled Why Democrats Keep Losing Rural Counties Like Mine. We've got a link at WPR.org/Central Time.